And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Wright. Vic and Sade is brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now, here's Zella Lake. Say, Zella, I need you to help settle a discussion. What do you think is America's favorite dessert?
Well, to be truthful, it isn't a matter of thinking. It's always apple pie. And do you wonder, friends, isn't a big, juicy apple pie with a flaky, tender crust one of your family's first loves? And notice I said flaky, tender crust. That's important. And some women find it's a stickler. But you know you can make sure of mouth-watering pie crust. Golly, when you follow Crisco's new pastry method, you just can't miss. Do you know that with Crisco and this new pastry method, you're absolutely sure of tender, flaky pastry? Yes, sir. Every single time you make a pie, you can count on this. That Crisco crust will be as tender and flaky as any you ever tasted, even if you never made a pie before. You'll see, you get pie crust that breaks at the touch of a fork. And of course, being made with Crisco, it'll be pie crust that's digestible, too. Yes, when the family pitches in, there's no worry about upset digestions. And pitch in they will. You just try Crisco and the pastry method printed on the Crisco label, and I'll bet you that even if you've had tough luck with pies before, this time you'll get a perfect crust. Honest. Golden brown, tender, and flaky. Why don't you make a Crisco apple pie tonight? And really, once you've tried Crisco in this new pastry method, well, you'll be making pies just to show how good you are. Oh, yes, friend, here's a tip on the new rationing. Red and blue stamps will be good for a limited time, as before. But the tokens you get in change are good indefinitely. And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, it's about the middle of the morning as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. Fletcher Rush all by himself. Uncle Fletcher stopped past a few moments ago, shouted without receiving an answer, wandered into the front part of the house, shouted some more, and is now persuaded that no one is home. However, just for luck, he calls one more time.
Hello? Anybody upstairs, are they?
Yes. Hello, who is it?
Well, Sadie, honey.
Uncle Fletcher?
I was about to throw in the sponge. I was in the kitchen and hollered, and then in the dining room and hollered, and never got any numbskull reply.
I was in the attic.
Yes, I know.
I never actually heard you holler. Just had a feeling somebody was hollering. I was in the attic with the stairway door closed and couldn't have heard you holler.
That's right. Well, I was riding up the alley with Gump Pox on the garbage box, and that half-whipped horse hollered, broke his heart and didn't do. And Gump Pox figured and thank him a lot. Telephone's ringing, Sadie, honey. Telephone's ringing.
Yes, it's Miss Trouble. Will you answer, please?
Sure.
I'm on my way down.
Fine.
Tell Miss Trouble to hold the wire just 8:15 to the second. I've got to clean stuff off in the stair steps to make a pass for myself.
Hello? Who?
Tell her I've been cleaning the attic.
Who? Chuggle, speak up, ma'am.
All right.
Poogle, speak up, ma'am. Speak up.
All right, Uncle Fletcher.
You must have the wrong number, ma'am.
No, Uncle Fletcher, that's Miss Trouble.
Yes, ma'am, you've got the wrong number. Goodbye.
Oh, Uncle Fletcher.
Wrong number.
Well, it was my friend Miss Trouble there on West Monroe Street.
Yes, sounded like Miss Trouble.
Well, what'd you hang up for?
She had the wrong number.
What do you mean she had the wrong number?
Sadie, honey, you asked me to answer the telephone, and I done so to the best of my ability. You're dissatisfied with the matter in which I attempted to handle
her. All right, Uncle Fletcher. I ought to be on hand to answer my own telephones.
Miss Trouble calls up here and gets the wrong number. It's no fault of mine.
Well, no, of course not. I'll telephone her back directly. Come in the kitchen and hollered and nobody answered, huh?
I shouted 5 or 6 times, I guess. Door open and all, I figured somebody had to be home.
Uh-huh. Well, I was way up in the attic and even had the stairway door closed. I probably couldn't have heard it if there'd been a CNA switch engine down here whistling. But I had that feeling a person gets sometimes.
Not at all, not at all.
Somebody's calling me. Somebody's calling me.
Oh, fine. Forget it.
It's kind of a halfway shivery sensation. I was up there in the attic folding them old green portieres of ours and suddenly stopped. Had the funny notion somebody's calling me.
That happens, that happens.
Walked down to the head of the stairway and hollered, and you answered.
Works out that way sometimes.
Trash like that makes a person stop a minute and wonder.
I know, I know.
Well, how have you been, Uncle Fletcher? Haven't seen you since last week.
I've been first rate, Sadie, honey. Thanks for the inquiry.
And Miss Keller, how's she feeling?
Miss Collard, don't say a great deal.
Eats three hearty meals every day, I suppose.
Eats three hearty meals every day. Leaves it go at that. No, she's quiet. I don't comment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine she enjoys...
Lady, honey, I'll tell you why I stopped past.
Oh, this is a business visit, hmm? I thought she just happened in.
I believe I better explain, first shot out of the box, that there's something in the wind.
Well, Grant, tell me.
It is no secret, of course, that I have a good many irons in the fire.
Hmm.
I have an interest in B.B. Boss peanut machine down in the Interurban Station.
Uh-huh.
I'm substitute ticket taker down at the Bijou Moving Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm substitute milk wagon driver for Snow and Palmer's Dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I hold a red flag for the street gang when they're tearing up the street.
Yeah.
I often operate Cully Landis's gasoline station while Cully goes home to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I have those and many other irons in the fire.
Uh-huh.
Now, Sadie, honey.
Hmm.
I believe the professions I've named over are all honorable professions.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because, Sadie, honey, I want your approval in all the various enterprises I turn my hand to.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
I take it, then, that there are no complaints so far.
Why, no.
Sadie, honey, I received a new proposition yesterday afternoon.
Oh?
I received a new proposition yesterday afternoon, and I'd like to get your opinion on it.
Well...
This new proposition comes from Hank Gutstop.
Oh, well, look, Uncle Fletcher, this sounds like man business. Hank Gutstop is a friend of Vic's. Hank Gutstop isn't any friend of mine.
I am your niece, Sadie, honey. I am not Vic's niece.
How do you mean?
Any enterprise in which I might get interested in.
Oh, I see. I am your niece. Vic is not your niece.
That's what I said.
You said you were my niece, not Vic's niece.
Exactly, exactly. Any enterprise in which I might get interested is between you and me, you know.
I still think Vic is better than me to discuss stuff concerning Hank Gutstop.
This, Sadie, honey, is why I stopped past.
All right.
Shall I proceed?
Yes. What's Hank's proposition?
Hank Gutstop, Sadie, honey, as you may know or may not know, is the detective down at the Butterhouse Hotel. He occupies the bridal suits there.
Yes, I know all about that, Uncle Fletcher. What's he want you to do?
Hank wants me to take the part of crooks, criminals, scallywags, and rascals.
Huh?
Here's the explanation on it.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Hank has been a detective at the Butterhouse Hotel for several weeks now.
Yes, I know he has.
And so far, he hasn't apprehended a single crook, criminal, scallywag, or rascal.
No?
Not one single crook, criminal, scallywag, or rascal. It's beginning to look bad for Hank. The mighty show down there at the hotel is beginning to wonder if they really need any detective.
Oh, I see. And Hank wants
you... Hank is getting desperate. He don't want to give up that fancy salary and them fancy clothes he wears. He don't want to give up the bridal suit in the aristocratic butler house and go back to that ramshackle bright Kentucky hotel there in the railroad yard.
Oh, well, Ish, that needn't concern...
Hank has to turn in a worksheet to the management every day. A worksheet showing what he's accomplished. What is there to write down? Nothing. He hasn't apprehended any crook, criminal, scallywag, or rascal. He hasn't apprehended anybody. The management looks over that empty worksheet and they think, hey, what is this?
Well, tell me what Hank wants you to do.
Hank is desperate. Yesterday morning, just to have something to put down on his worksheet, he threw William S. McFelters out of the lobby.
Who's that?
William S. McFelters has been a resident of the Butler House Hotel for 35 years.
Really?
William S. McFelters moved into the Butler House Hotel in the year 1909.
Good.
He's got four rooms on the fifth floor, and he's lived in them same four rooms for 35 years.
And Hank threw him out of the lobby?
Just to have something to put down on his worksheet.
Well, didn't this gentleman raise the dickens?
William S. McFelters hit the ceiling. Took the management an hour and a half to calm him down. It was gay times down there yesterday morning.
Well, has Hank still got his job?
Just barely hanging on to it by his shoestring. And that's why he's particular desperate. He needs to show them how valuable he is. He needs the crook, criminal, scallywag, arrest.
And you're the party he's elected.
Hank Gutstop wants me to appear in the lobby of the Butler House Hotel at least twice a day, every day in the week.
So he can throw you out?
So he can throw me out.
And he'll pay you for that, huh?
He'll pay me for that.
But... won't you look like the same crook, criminal, scallywag, and rascal?
Disguises.
Oh, now, really.
Disguises. False whiskers. Fake mustache. Dirty hat. Homburg hat. Eyeglasses. Wigs.
Oh, no, no.
Look, criminal, scallywag, or rascal.
Uncle Fletcher, this is entirely your own business, and I wouldn't even pretend to have any say-so, but...
But you don't care for the idea, hmm?
No, I don't.
You don't care for the idea. Is that right, Sadie, honey?
I don't care for it the least little bit.
Right, right. No said, no said. All I want to know, all I want to know.
Well, you have lots of lovely things to do.
Not
without
another
being
word,
part
not
of
another
thing.
Word.
Swindling, dishonest.
Agreed, 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 agreed.
You're not enthusiastic over the notion yourself, are you?
Just thought I'd stop past and get your opinion on it, was all.
I don't think you've got a very high opinion of it.
I'm your niece, you know. I feel like I ought to consult you before entering upon any enterprise in which...
All right, Uncle Fletcher, let her go there.
Fine.
Hmm.
Well, I expect Gumpox has got his garbage wagon harness spliced together by now. If I want to catch a ride, I better saunter on out to the alley.
And I have to trot back and wrestle with that attic.
Glorious morning, Sadie Holly.
Yes, it seems to be. Wish I could go out and enjoy it.
Well, I'll stroll on out and catch a ride home with Gumpox on the garbage wagon. I want to screw up a new batch of hyena grease to spare on my shoes before noon.
Uh-huh.
Well, goodbye, Sadie, honey.
Goodbye, Uncle Fletcher.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now, here's Zella Lane.
Do you sometimes have to step pretty lively in order to get lunch on the table for the youngsters? I know I don't always have time to fuss, yet I do think they need something to sort of warm them up. And here's really a grand idea, one you can use with great success for Sunday night supper, too. Just make ordinary sandwiches with peanut butter, jam, or whatever's handy. Make them ahead of time if you want to. Then when the kids come in, dip your sandwiches in French toast batter and fry them in piping hot Crisco so they're crusty and golden brown. Now, believe me, that'll hold those growing appetites. And do the youngsters love them? I think it's because they look so temptingly crisp and brown. And Crisco does turn them out that way. Really, when you get right down to it, Crisco fried foods are sort of special, you know? They just don't bother digestion a bit, not even the youngsters. Of course, that's what comes of cooking with Crisco. You see, pure all-vegetable Crisco is digestible itself, a real blessing, especially since it's the very finest shortening you can use. Prove it to yourself. With Crisco, everything you cook tastes better, and it's digestible.
Don't forget to listen to Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.